Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Or is it last week's episode of Poorly Read?
No.
Or is it next week's episode of Poorly Read?
Nope.
Oh.
It's the one in the middle.
Ah, how's everyone doing? Speak to me through your electronic device. Hold it close to you. Put your electronic device in your mouth and say how you feel, and I will hear it. Even better, do it in a bathtub or while you're holding a toaster.
Why do you want to cause so much death by podcast? I feel like that's how we started last week's episode as well. Just ways we can kill people with this podcast.
I don't know. I think I was just born with like a sort of like slightly Adams Family-esque like mentality.
Yeah.
Alas. Anyway, don't do that, guys. That's bad and you might get hurt.
In my head, I just tried to meld the names Morticia and Gifton and came up with Mortician. I was like, no, that's a thing.
I'm here for it. I love it. Oh, God. Yas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yas, queen, yas. Should we have funny accents for this, but like all the way through?
All right. What? Which one are you going to do?
I don't know. Should we like try out a few?
Okay.
Yeah, so like, I don't know. If I go like, maybe if I talk like this. Does that sound good?
I mean, for that short a period of time, that was nice. Or if it like a voiceover for a cartoon character's voice or something.
I like it. Like Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Yeah, all right, no, that was what I needed. I'm sold.
Oh my God, I don't think I could keep it up.
Not while doing that accent.
Oh, now talking about fucking Hallows and how deathly they are.
Yes, indeed. Episode 2 of those Deathly Hallows.
Yes, the Clone Wars. No, it's Attack of the Clones, isn't it? Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Messed up my own joke, then we'll probably cut that. I can't stand to be seen as a failure, though.
I was thinking, is that right? Is it called the Clone Wars? It's something clone.
I've got two. Oh, we should do one of those for Poorly Read, maybe.
What, a Star Wars film?
Yeah, but now I said that, I don't know if I want to do that either.
I think there could be a lot of material there.
Maybe if we did like Empire Strikes Back or something.
I think... Yeah, for the I Am Your Father moment.
I mean, I wasn't even thinking of that, but I like the way your mind works, Tom. I think it might be good.
Yeah, I sort of feel like the first one, A New Hope,
yeah,
might be like...
Okay.
It'd be weird to do a sequel. I mean, obviously, most people have seen them. But still.
Yeah. Or we could do them all back to front.
What, you mean in the order they were released?
No, I don't know. We'll think about it. As I'm thinking about it more, I'm thinking of how much I don't even really like Star Wars that much. So we'll see. I kind of only want to do it so I can take the piss out of Princess Leia's buns.
And so you can do... I bet you can do a Chewbacca impression.
Ooh, shall I have a go?
Yeah.
It's really hard because you have to kind of try and do two sounds at once.
Yeah.
I'm so scared to try. I don't think I can. I'm just going to preface it by that.
All right, well, you know, sometimes you just got to hold your hands up and say that you're wrong.
I want to try it again. Maybe there's like a way you're doing it with like your fingers in your mouth or something. No, you can't do it at all. No, you can't.
Just putting your fingers in your mouth and going.
I'm trying to make my tongue do like the rrr, and it won't when if your fingers are in your mouth.
I feel, is it possible to do scary Voldemort voice but high?
Not really, because eventually you just get to like this scary Voldemort voice. Oh, fucking hell. I think all we have learned, Tom, is that no, I cannot do the Chewbacca voice. Oh, God. I wasn't too far away, though.
I mean,
fuck
you weren't
off,
too close.
You try.
I can't. I know that I can't.
Oh, God. Anyway, let's begin. Chapter 4.
The Seven Potters.
Yeah. So Harry looks out the window and he sees everyone driving away.
Yeah, and he's in the house by himself, reminiscing about previous alone time he spent in the house.
Yes, like when he would rub his pee-pee on the floral couch.
And then flip the cushions over so no one found the stains.
When he'd ejaculate and piss inside the VCR. And Vernon's like, why isn't this recording fucking Have I Got News For You? And Harry's like, hee-hee-hee. Oh, God.
Watching Vernon trying to flap his stubby little fingers in the slot.
Yeah. It's like, oh, Petunia, it's like someone's fucking putting mayonnaise in here. Dudley, have you been hiding your sandwiches again? Dudley's like, no, sir. And Vernon's like, oh, it doesn't taste like mayonnaise.
Petunia, have you got into any more weird shit since this fireplace thing?
Yes, is this your secretion? And she's like, no, of course not. So he gets like a lab guy to come around and do like a swab of the VCR. And the guy's like, well, we found 12 different types of fluid in here. Oh, God. And Petunia's like, oh, I wonder where that come from. Certainly didn't come from the Caribbean milkman. Anyway. He's looking around, looking at things.
And there's a big bang. And then people arrive in the garden.
And Harry's like, wow, I just witnessed the start of the world. Yeah, fucking, it's Mad-Eye and co.
Yeah, so it's Ron, Hermione, Fred and George, Bill, Arthur, Mad-Eye, Tonks, Lupin, Fleur, Kingsley, Hagrid and Mundungus.
So, first of all, Mad-Eye is holding two huge bulging sacks.
Who are the lucky boys? It's Fred and George.
Yeah. Yeah, just got one. He's carrying each of them purely by the scrotums.
Let's teach you to shut the fuck up. Like holding them upside down.
Ah, oh, this is called a Norwegian stretch. Watch. And they're like, ah!
Arthur's like, Mad-Eye. This is really necessary.
No, and that, so I point this out every time it happens because it just pissed me off. But because she describes them all, and then it gets to Kingsley and she says, Kingsley being bald, black and broad-shouldered. And I was like, we know that he's a black guy. Why did you need to bring that up again in his description? There's more to describe about him, I'm sure, than just once again pointing out there's a different colour to the rest.
Yeah.
It pissed me off so much because she does it so much. I just thought, stop it. You know? Mm. It just annoyed me. Annoyed the fuck out of me.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy. Yeah. Yes, Tom. She could have just said he's bald, broad-shouldered and got an earring.
Yeah. I mean, like you say, I'm sure there are many, many distinguishing features.
Yeah, it's like that big black dick. That's a helicopter sound.
Did you need to describe the colour of his dick, though?
Anyway, Lupin and Tonks have gotten married.
Yay. Really quickly.
Well, there's a shotgun wedding. She was like, Lupin, I'm pregnant. And he's like, but how? And she's like, well. Do you remember that time you woke up and was like, oh, I must have had a wet dream? Well, to be fair, Lupin, it was a wet dream. But when you went to the bathroom, I got the sheets, I twisted them into a cone shape. I stuffed as much up there as I could. And I went and sat on the radiator and just hoped that magic would work.
Either that or it was those useless condoms you bring. With the open wolf mouth on the end.
In fact, it was probably that. So really, I just gave myself a bacterial infection from the fabric softener for nothing. Oh, bad Dobby. Yeah. Lupin regrets it.
Yeah. I mean, did we work out how long it was since the end of last book? Like 6 weeks?
Maybe. Probably, yeah. Okay.
And they've gone from trying to convince Lupin to be in a relationship with her to they're now married.
I think it must have literally been, look, Lupin, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Because,
I assume, like, she calls him Lupin as well.
What's his Remus? Maybe she calls him, like, Remy.
No one asks why.
Like, well, I did promise my grandmother that I'd never have the baby out of wedlock, so I guess we're getting married. And she's like, oh, Lupin. And he's like, oh, I need Fedora. I'm so happy. Can you tell by my upside down smile? Anyway, so yeah, Moody sort of gives them another fucking explanation of the trace, which doesn't make any fucking sense.
I feel like it makes more sense in this explanation than it has done in any explanation before.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, it is still a little bit, like, nebulous, but it's, you know, the trace will be active.
What does nebulous mean?
Like, sort of all over the place and hard to define and, like, a cloud of gas rather than, like, a solid thing you can grasp.
Okay. I mean, I put it this way. It's not that the explanation doesn't make sense. It's that the actual reality of the trace doesn't make sense when put with the explanation.
Yeah. What we've seen and read from previous books and previous instances of the trace being active or whatever still don't suddenly make sense because of this explanation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel, we've talked about it, like, so fucking much, but I feel like she sort of made it unnecessarily complicated.
Mm.
Really, all because of the Dobby thing in book two. I reckon if she had...
Well, this is it. I feel like it just wasn't fully worked out. I feel like back then it was like, you know, just this quirky magic stuff happens and don't look too closely at it or you're ruining it. But then she decided to go in real close and...
Yeah.
Try to then make it all retrospectively make sense and a lot of it just can't reconcile.
Yeah, I think that's probably the case. Anyway, they're off to safe houses.
Yes, because pious thickness... has made it a crime.
I believe his name is Penis Thickness, Tom.
Oh, sorry, Girth. Oh, Girth.
Yeah, Girth. Girth, like G-R-R-T-H. Yes.
Girth. Has made it a criminal offence to collect that house to the flu network or to apparate in and out of there or to transport magically out of there. You know, instantly, magically out of there in any kind of way. So they reckon they got Harry trapped. But then they're like, no, we're going to be going on brooms.
Do you think that, like, how far outside of the house does the radius of, like, the protection extend? Because what if they just, like, fire, if they, like, petrobombed the house? Because they know where it is, because the fucking ministry has sent letters there. So they know where it is. Someone tells Harry that if Voldemort was, like, looking up against, like, the window and they were inside, Voldemort wouldn't be able to see them. So if they just, like, threw petrol bombs into the house and everyone had to run out, then at what point would Harry then become visible?
I think the petrol bombs would probably bounce back at the people who threw them.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think if the intent was to be going after Harry...
Yeah.
Again, this is what I mean by it's a little bit nebulous and not quite like defined, but I feel like if you're attempting to do harm to the house in a way that you were connected with Voldemort's thing with Harry, it would bounce back and wouldn't work.
Okay. Well, it's weird he didn't just go after him during like the summer of book five then, really.
Well, Harry still called, but this is a kind of vagary, but the idea is that Harry still called the Dursleys' house home then. It was still his home, therefore Voldemort couldn't touch him.
No, I mean, but when he was outside a lot in the area in book five.
Yeah, he still called, the Dursleys' house was still his home, therefore the charm was still active.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have just been like, that's what I mean, so how far did the charm, because when you say when he was at the park, like across the way from the house, and or not even across the way, it was a little bit away. If he'd been cornered there, I mean, like because the Dementors found him there.
Yeah, but the Dementors weren't sent by Voldemort.
No, but imagine if like the Death Eaters showed up. I can't imagine that they wouldn't be able to find Harry there.
I know what you mean. It doesn't quite make sense with the whole Harry wandered off outside around the village all the time. But I think that is the idea, that while he was living at the Dursleys, and while that place was his home, no matter where he kind of went, no matter how much he wandered about, he wasn't gettable by Voldemort and the Death Eaters.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll ask her when we meet her eventually. We'll ask her when we're in court. So, yeah, they're like, oh, what are we going to do? And Harry's like, look, like, I think they'll notice that, you know, that there's only one of me going to a safe house. And he's like,
yeah, they have made like a dozen houses safe, like with all the charms and stuff. So they don't know which one it's going
to
be. I think
houses belonging to most of the order, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And Harry's like, well, they're just going to see which one I go to, aren't they? And Mad-Eye's like, ha-ha, well.
Jim Jam Yaha.
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah, it's Jim Jam, not Yim Yam Yaha. One of our fans sent me a video. I was like, ah.
Ah, well, so it's Jim Jam Yaha.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's still in our Instagram, like, DMs, if you want to check it out, so you know what I'm talking about.
Ah, all right.
But I doubt you do.
I do. Take an interest in your things.
Said Tom, never. So yeah, they're like, well, the plan is, Harry, we're going to turn you into a submarine. Then we're going to throw you into the Thames, climb inside you, and get turned into a cartoon movie.
What colour submarine are you going to be, Harry?
I give you a clue. If I piss on you, it's that colour. And Harry's like,
yes, you've been very clear, thank you.
Yeah. No, they're going to fucking turn six of them into Harry Potters.
Yes, so that there's a total of seven Harrys. And then each one is going to travel with a protector, and they're all going to split off in different directions and go to a different safe house, and then all portkey to the Burrow.
Why couldn't they just portkey from Privet Drive?
I think that was part of what Thickness, a part of what Girth has made illegal or detectable.
Oh, okay. So they can't do, like, so no sort of magic.
I think so. Like, I don't know. They definitely said flu powder and apparition. I assume they said port keys as well.
I don't remember them even mentioning port keys until they got to their safe houses, personally. Because I thought, why not just... Because you can enchant a port key before the actual thing happens. So they could have done that wherever they were. They just brought that with them to Privet Drive.
Yeah, but then I feel like if a port key gets activated in Privet Drive, the Ministry's going to know about it. I don't know. I mean, maybe it wasn't said explicitly, but I think it's kind of implied with the amount of law and movement restriction that the Ministry's put around that house.
I guess so. I mean, I don't buy it. I think she just wanted seven Harrys.
One's just not enough.
Yes, I need one to play with my toes, one to put their finger in my ear, one to shave my bum crack, one to...
Two to be fanning me with palm fronds.
Yes. Another one to be coating my armpits with a cream stick roll-on, the kind that gets icky. And then, is there one more left?
I don't know. How many is that? Do we need to make another one?
I don't know. Let's make another two, just in case. Another one to be doing her hair, but like giving her like a French plait in a way that also incorporates his own genitals into it. And then another one is going to be sitting on her lap, applying charcoal to her lips. Yeah. And her husband walks by and she's like, "Don't I look beautiful?"
So who are all these little boys?
"I did this for you." And he's like, "I'm leaving you."
"Well, it's just you and me now, boys."
Oh, God. So anyway, Harry's like, no, I'm not doing this. And then one of them's like, "Oh, we knew he'd say this."
Yeah, and I feel like this is just like, I get why it fits with Harry's character, that he's all like, no one needs to risk their lives for me. But also, I just want to be like, oh, shut the fuck up. You know, like, everyone's obviously going to do this. And like, what do you think? Everyone's going to go, "Oh, well, he doesn't want us to risk our lives for him, so let's let him go by himself." No, you're a fucking idiot. That's what I want to say to Harry.
Yeah, I know,
like,
what you mean.
I want to like reach through the book and just shake him and say that.
Yeah, it's a bit bananas, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, it does, you know, it's not like a real complaint with the book that I have, because it is definitely, it's in keeping with Harry's character. It's just something annoying that I find about him, like, as a character. So they hope that Voldemort will be working off the fake trail that they tried to give him, that they'll be leaving on the 30th. But he'd be mad not to have a few Death Eaters on the lookout just in case, so we've taken all these measures. And Mundungus is going to go with Moody. Fred's going with Arthur. George is going with Remus. Bill and Fleur are going together on a Thestral. Hermione and Kingsley are going on a Thestral. Tonks and Ron are going together, and Hagrid is going to be with Harry on the bike.
Hermione's like, "Oh, what, so I'm riding on that big black thing?" And he's like, "Yes, it's a Thestral." "No, sit like this." Ah! "I'm only joking, Hermione, you're staying here." So yeah, they all take the potion. No, Harry rips hairs out the back of his head, which I thought was a bit extreme. And then he puts in the Polyjuice potion that Moody's brought.
I mean, like, you're in a kitchen, just grab some scissors.
Exactly, I thought exactly the same thing. They all transform, and then they all get onto their respective modes of transport. Harry gets in Hagrid's motorcycle car and puts Hedwig between his legs, along with his rucksack and his broom.
Yes.
Oh, God. So then they rise up, ready to fly away. And as soon as they're kind of out of the boundaries of the house,
bang!
Death Eaters! Death Eaters! Flying on their brooms. They're gonna do some magic by the light of the moon.
And they're all holding balloons?
Gotta do some magic. Let's hope they don't come too soon. I don't know what else rhymes with fucking broom.
Harpoon?
Harpoon. Gotta do some magic. They're firing that harpoon? That's crap. Broom, tomb. Gotta do some magic. Put Harry in a tomb. Fuck it. They're gonna do some magic, and while singing a badass tune. I mean, I swear, one of Death Eaters whips out his guitar that's on fire. lasers.
One of the green lasers accidentally hits Hedwig.
And they're like, "Oh, mate, I'm so sorry."
Is she all right?
Oh, God. Oh. He's got a proper, like, 1970s rocker accent. It's like, "Oh, shit, is she all right?"
Oh, well, it could have been worse, eh?
Anyway, yeah, battle ensues. Pew, pew, pew.
Yes, and it sounds pew, exactly pew, like that. And so they keep, Harry's all like, "We've got to turn back, Hagrid. We've got to get them." And I'm like,
"No, we need to get you safely to the place."
Yeah. Exactly. So they keep going and four Death Eaters follow them. And then Hagrid hits a special green button that's been installed on his motorbike.
Yes, he presses it and...
it just drops a load of petrol bombs out of the exhaust and it just falls on the houses underneath. Hagrid's like, oh, could have thought that one through a little better.
Oh, God. It's all right, though. Just a bunch of immigrants were living in those ones, Harry. And he's like, fucking hell.
I did it on purpose, Harry.
Don't know if you know this, Harry, but I'm part of the EDL.
Brexit means Brexit, Harry.
And no, I will not wear a mask. Thank you very much. Now a fucking brick wall shoots out the back.
Oh, yeah. And one of the Death Eaters goes flying into it with a cartoon boing noise.
Yes. Or a clang.
Yeah. Or a
or
thwack.
A kaboom. No, thwack needs to be moist.
Yeah, you just be like slapping someone with a big salmon.
And another Death Eater kind of approaches Harry, and Harry sees that it's actually like a curiously faced Stan Shumpike, who's pretty like obviously been imperioed.
Yeah, or so Harry still thinks. Harry's so utterly convinced that this guy he met for like 5 minutes one time cannot possibly be a Death Eater.
No, I think it's pretty like, I think he's not, he got imperioed.
Yes.
Yeah, because that's why his expression is so blank.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it that easy to tell when someone's been imperioed then? Barty Crouch at the Ministry throughout all of Book 4, Madame Rosmerta throughout all of Book 6?
I think it depends.
Depends on who's done the curse and how well, maybe.
Yeah, and I think it depends on how kind of what you want from it, you know?
And how convenient it is for the plot to be able to instantly recognise when someone's been imperioed.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, when the goblin gets imperioed at the end, like in Gringotts.
Yeah.
It's like exactly the same kind of vibe.
Yeah. But I mean, we've seen loads of instances of people being imperioed and it relying on people not being able to tell.
Yeah, it's because, Tom, she doesn't know what the fuck she's doing when she puts that pen to paper. So. So some more spells happen, and then Harry goes, Expelliarmus! And then one of the Death Eaters goes, that's him, that's the real one! And they all sort of, like, drop off, and Harry's like, what the fuck? And then...
and then boss fight.
Yeah! And Dr. Robotnik appears.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the big boss fight at the beginning of the game, where you're not supposed to actually win, it just, like, gets cut off early, and you're like, oh, he'll be back, I know!
Yeah. Yeah, Voldemort comes all over his tits. And Harry's like, why did you do that? And he's like, boss fight, Harry. And Voldemort tries to like
Avada Kedavra.
Yeah. What's Adava Kedavra? No, that's Adava Kedavra. What's that backwards? Avadek Adava. Sounds like a diplomat, doesn't it?
A foreign affairs correspondent.
Yeah. But it's sort of like a kooky one. So it's like, oh man, well, I was there today, but you won't believe what happened. And they're like, back to the studio. And so he tries to revive Harry, but Harry's wand like kind of acts of its own accord and points itself at Voldemort and makes gold flames come out.
Yeah.
And it connects with like the Avada Kedavra spell in midair. And then Voldemort's got right up close to fucking Harry's face, and Harry can see the red in his eyes, and then Voldemort disappears and Harry crashes.
Yes, they've been falling to the floor this whole time, and Hagrid has jumped off of the bike.
Oh yeah, because he tries to Accio Hagrid at one point, didn't he? And he can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we totally fucking skipped the Hedwig dying.
Oh, yeah. No, one of the lasers hit her.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Hedwig dies.
Really did die. Yeah, she took the wrong pill and she died, and Harry just pushed her far away on the dance floor and carried on.
Just scooted her into the corner with his foot.
Yeah.
The mice will have that.
Maybe someone will wear her as a hat.
she'd have liked that.
She truly will be a head wig. So yeah, they crash into like a marsh kind of thing.
Yes, and then brings us into chapter 5, Fallen Warrior.
Yeah, Fallen Warrior, that's like an 80s film if ever I've heard one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about this guy who gives up on his like warrior training because he's like, I'll never be what my dad was. So he goes and works as like a, what's the guy who does like makes like horseshoes? He goes and works as like a farrier in like a village. And he's all happy there until one day, like, his, like, long-forgotten friend comes by and is like, we need you back at the kingdom. And he's like, no, that life is not for me anymore. And he's like, but you have to. The king of blah, blah, blah is attacking. And he's like, I don't care. And he's like, but your dad, he's on his last few days. If you don't come back, the kingdom will fall forever. And he's like, no. And then the guy goes. Then overnight, he thinks more. And then he shows back up at the palace looking all, like, sexy and disheveled. And they're like, he's back. And then he defeats the bad guy and becomes the new king. And everyone's like, woo, party. And credits.
Holy shit. Have you still got the movie rights? Or?
God, and yeah, it's probably like 80s like power ballad music. Like, da, 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 fallen warrior. Da, da, da. He's not a farrier at heart.
Did you make him that because it's a word that rhymes with warrior?
No.
That just happened to work out.
Yeah. You say that like I don't do this shit like all the time with this podcast. Oh god. Anyway.
All right, there we go. A little movie interlude for you there.
Oh dear. Tonk's dad and Tonk's mum come out.
Yeah, well, Tonk's dad comes out and he's all like, Hagrid. No, Harry's like, hey, not Tonk's dad isn't like that. Harry's
comes out wearing like a floaty nightgown and he's like, Hagrid.
Oh, Hagrid. Yeah, they realized that the protection charms around the house made Voldemort disappear because it's Tonks' parents' house. Fucking lucky, innit?
Yeah. Well, that's some good bit of magic if it made Voldemort go away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it held up though. Because if I remember, not long after that, they managed to get through the protections and they tortured the mum and dad to find out where Harry went.
Oof.
Yeah, because I remember, I think it was the dad who wasn't in a good way after the like interrogation.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think that if they had volunteered to be the house that the real Harry goes to, they would know there's a good chance that that's going to happen. You'd think they would go.
That's a good point. Yeah, especially as Voldemort, like, disappeared, like, especially as he got caught just outside the boundaries of it, you know?
You'd think there'd maybe be some evidence of that. Yeah. Like, can you not, if you were to look up from their garden, could you see him, or is he invisible from inside it?
That's what I mean. Seems I don't like that'd be know. Weird. Maybe not, because in the film, Hermione...
Well, no, actually, I mean, he must be kind of invisible from inside it. Because he disappears
Harry,
in front
yeah,
of Harry's...
Yeah.
No,
but I think that was just because he couldn't get through, so he sort of stopped while Harry kept on going.
Yeah, but then you'd think it was like he pulled away from Harry, he got further and further away, and then Harry landed on the floor and still could see him up there, like, banging on the roof of the glass.
Yeah, but if Harry was just looking to his side, I mean, suddenly Voldemort wasn't there anymore, it would be going so fast, I think that's just how it must have looked.
Imagine if Voldemort was, like, underneath Harry, and then they landed on the, like, roof of the... protection and it just went boom.
And Harry's like, well, I guess it's just me and you now. But was like, ah, I've been waiting for this. Bung, 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 bung. Let's have sex on the bubble.
And they roll over and Harry just goes, ah.
Voldemort's like, I'll never let go, Harry.
You said we were going to finish this how we started it. Together.
Fucking hell, it's unlike you to pull a fucking reference like that.
Yeah, I know. because that's in the like the advert that was running for ages.
Oh, really?
For that movie, yeah.
That was so stupid, that scene. Fucking yeah. Hell. So much.
Voldemort's like master wizard that doesn't, it's not gonna like, you can't get a spell off against him because he's the best wizard, but he lets Harry like wrap his arms around his neck and pull him.
Yeah.
Down up, fuck off. Anyway.
Oh god.
So Harry gets taken inside and is wondering where Hagrid is, and then Hagrid comes bustling in, knocking over two tables and an aspidistra.
What the fuck is an aspidistra?
I was gonna ask you the same thing.
Should we Google?
No, let's not.
Should we just invent it?
Let's just get outraged. She would include this, for it seems like an item of furniture that no one could possibly have heard of.
Yeah, it sounds like one of those really like obscure sort of like 1960s like shag pad pieces of furniture which have no like real function in purpose, but just there to look cool.
Yeah.
Aspidistra.
Oh, it's a plant.
That's fucking crap, isn't it? What kind of cunt writes that instead of just a plant?
Yeah, knocks over a big pot plant.
Yeah. Anyway, so Hagrid knocks over a plant. And he's like, sorry about that. And then... Yeah. And then Harry passes out, right? Pass out.
Yeah.
And then Tonks' dad is there. Tonks' dad. And he's like, oh, Harry, I fixed your tooth. And I fixed your whatever else is bleeding. I fixed all the orifices that were leaking.
You might have some trouble excreting from now on.
Yeah, so he sealed you up so good that you won't have to poo out your belly button.
No more of that dark arts escaping you.
But it's all right. I've cut it into the shape of a star, so it'd be like excreting Play-Doh. Hey, hey. Build the house out of that. Oh, God. And Harry's like, what happened? No, Tonks is like, what happened? And then, not Tonks, fucking Tonks' dad. He's like, what happened?
whose name is also Tonks.
Yeah, Tonks. Mr. Tonks.
Ted Tonks.
Yes. Big Daddy Tonks. That's
thank
what
you,
call
thank
him.
You for coming to my Ted Tonks.
X. So they have a little, like, a kerfuffle about everything. And then Tonk's dad is like, look, the porridge key's about to leave in a minute.
Yeah, the porridge key.
Quickly grab hold of it. And then, so they all grab, not they all grab, Hagrid and Harry manage to get hold of the port key that Tonk's dad has held out, which is the brush, the hairbrush. A hairbrush, yes. Not the hairbrush.
It's the hairbrush. It's like, oh my God, you've got the hairbrush. Does the ministry know?
So they go pew, 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 like that.
Yep. And then they grab the port key.
Harry's like, I'm just trying to add some new sounds, you know. So when I enter a room, I go pew, 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 and everyone's like, ooh, ain't he cool? Look at his cool sounds.
Could put his hand in my porridge.
Oh, God, and Tonks' mum is like, oh, I remember porridge. Now mine is just like when you finish the bowl, but you don't put it in the sink straight away. So it goes all hard and crusty. You can't clean it for days.
Oh, my God, such vivid imagery.
Anyway, Porky. And then they arrive at the burrow.
Yes. And, Molly comes shuffling over with Ginny in tow.
Cold gravy of worry running down her legs.
God. Oh, Molly must be worried. I can smell her worried gravy.
Oh, this isn't Bisto, I tell you that. Oh, and then Ginny's like, look, like, yeah, you're the first ones back.
Yeah, you're the real Harry, aren't you? He's like, yeah, you were supposed to be third back. Ron and Tonk should have been first and Arthur and Fred second, but both missed their port keys. They arrived without them.
Yeah, that's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, scary.
Scary. Or posh, whichever you want.
Or indeed ginger.
Lupin and George appear, and Lupin's like carrying George and he's all bloody.
Yeah.
Lupin's like, I just found him like this. Oh, I had to do a memory charm just so I could remember the horror of what the Death Eaters did to him.
Oh, so horrible, those Death Eaters.
Yes, and Molly's like, oh God, analus repario. It's not working.
Lupin's got like blood all around his mouth.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. That was a horrible thing to witness. And she's like, why is his ear missing?
He's like, oh, is it? I didn't notice.
Yeah, so I certainly didn't put my toe in there. But they get into the house and Lupin like takes Harry into the kitchen and like points his wand at him and he's like, put it in your mouth.
Harry opens his mouth, he just Daw! Gotcha, Harry.
Oh, I'm so glad that we can still laugh at times like this, Harry.
Harry's like, yeah.
What's wrong, Harry? You used to love one in the mouth.
You used to love one D throaty. Again, Remus, again, you used to say.
See, Harry, if you'd just done this to Dumbledore and said Aguamenti, maybe he'd still be here. Hey, okay. You make me sick. Anyway, are you the real Harry? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, prove it. And Harry's like, how? And he's like, I don't know. Was the real Harry circumcised or not? Show me your willy.
But if I wasn't, then all the others would still look the same.
He's like, no, they wouldn't,
like,
Harry.
He's like, no. Look, don't try and logic your way out of this one, Harry. Show me your willy.
He's like, ah, oh, you've got no lightning shift scar on your willy. You're an imposter. He's like, that's not how it works.
Silence! Avada Kedavra!
Oh, Molly, a Death Eater broke into the kitchen and killed Harry. Yeah.
Why is his ear missing? Is it?
Oh, God. Now he says, what was in my corner? What was in my Muller corner when you first came into my office? And I was like, strawberries, I think. And he's like, liar!
Calling me a fruit, Harry.
Oh, God. Now he says, what was in the corner of my office when you first saw me, when you first came into my office? Yeah, I was like, a Grindelow. And Lupin's like, I mean, I can't remember, but that sounds right. Congratulations, you pass. High five.
Open your mouth, Harry.
Yes, I need to put my whole fist in there. That's why it's called high five. Don't worry, broken teeth can be fixed. Anyway, so Harry explains what happened.
Yeah, Lupin tells him he's an idiot for using Expelliarmus. The time for disarming has passed, Harry. They know it's your signature move. Don't let it become that, because that's how they identified you and you're a fool.
Yes. Which I kind of agree with.
Yeah, because Harry's convinced Stan was Imperio, so he didn't want to actually like do harm to him.
Yeah, I get it, you know, but I mean, Lupin is right, like, that could have easily cost Harry his life.
Yeah.
Well, really, if it wasn't for, like, the bubble, like, the protections were around the Tonks place, if they were nowhere near Tonks' house by that point, Harry probably would have died.
Yeah, I mean, they must be pretty close to the Burrow, pretty close to the Dursleys' house, because they weren't, like, they didn't seem to be... I mean, I guess Hagrid did do, like, big bursts of acceleration at times. But, I mean, they can't have been in the air for more than a few minutes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. More people appear in the garden. Hermione and Kingsley.
Yes, Kingsley's all, someone betrayed us.
Yeah.
And Lupin's like, yeah.
And Lupin's like, what was the last words that Dumbledore said to either of us? And Kingsley's like, Harry is the best chance we have. Trust him.
Yes.
Harry goes back and sees a clear gaping hole where George's ear had been.
Yeah, because Molly's finished patching it up.
Yeah.
And then Fred comes in and is all like, oh, and George regains consciousness. Fred's all like, how'd you feel, mate?
Where did Fred come from?
He arrived back with Arthur as well, after Hermione and Kingsley get back.
Oh, okay. Oh, I missed that completely.
And George makes a shitty joke.
Oh, I hate that. I quite like it in the film. Like, I think the twins, I like the way the twins did it.
I don't like the twins do anything in the film.
I like the twins. I think they're cool. Tonks comes back with Ron. I wish Tonks had died.
So I actually quite like Tonks as a character. She's just kind of annoying the way that Stephen Fry's voice for her is super annoying.
Yeah, I think that's annoying. I hate that she's so clumsy.
Yeah.
I just can't with her. I just can't, Tom. Oh, God. As soon as they landed in the garden, Ron should have just turned around and Avada Kedavra'd her and been like, guys, look what happened.
The Death Eater's got her.
Yeah, he's got her just before we got through the barrier or something. Isn't it bad? And then Molly's like, I guess waste not, want not. She carries her into the kitchen, puts her in a pot in the on the stove and makes Nymphadora soup.
Lupin's just there, like, horrified and shell-shook.
I think Lupin would be wiping his brow in relief, actually. It's like, thank God, that takes care of two problems. Yeah. Oh, that's vile. I'm sorry. But the soup is bubblegum pink. Anyway, so Bill and Fleur and Mad-Eye and Mundungus ain't back yet. But then Bill and Fleur arrive sort of within those seconds. And literally the first thing Bill says is Mad-Eye's dead.
Ba-ba-ba.
Yeah.
Got yeah.
killed by Voldemort himself.
Yep, killed him in the head.
Yeah. Yeah, because fucking Mundungus disapparated and so the spell missed him and went straight for fucking yeah. thingy. I hate Mundungus so much. I did write, why do they keep on including Mundungus in things?
Yeah. At this point, like, do they really need, like, criminal underworld connections? Yeah. Are they not all just, like, dark arts people by now?
Yeah, because they all toast to Mad-Eye and they sort of wonder if it was Mundungus who betrayed them. And then they're like, well, no, because Mundungus knew, like, all of the plot and only the Death Eaters seem to not know which one was which. So,
yeah.
But apparently it's Mad-Eye who insisted that Mundungus come, even though he didn't want to. And I was like, well, it's kind of your own fault then, Mad-Eye, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll teach you, won't it?
Yeah.
Except you can't learn anything anymore.
Yeah. anyway, and then Harry's like, look, I don't think anyone leaked the plan on purpose. If anyone did do it, it would have been done by accident.
Yes. And then he starts trying to tell them that how his wand acted of its own accord and nobody believes him. And he's like, well, fuck all of you.
Yeah, I found that so annoying because Hermione's like, that's impossible, Harry. And then Harry goes outside and Voldemort comes into his thoughts.
Ew.
Yeah, and Voldemort's fucking punishing Ollivander for telling him that using a different wand would work against Harry.
Yeah, you said the problem would be solved if I used another's wand, and Ollivander's all like, oh, I don't understand, I don't know what's going on, stop it, you're hurting me.
Ow, that hurts, Voldy. Let me swoosh into chapter 6. The girl in pajamas.
Sounded like you said the girl in pajamas.
I know, that's why I thought it'd be funny.
I accidentally wrote, the ghoul is pajamas.
The ghoulies pajamas. What is ghoulies? Oh, ghoulies is your bollocks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, for some reason I thought it might be like a racial slur then. I was like, oh God, have I just said something horrendous?
Harry is restless.
Yes, he's got restless leg syndrome.
Yeah, he keeps kicking people.
Yeah, have you ever had restless leg syndrome?
Is that where you have to keep like bouncing your leg up and down all the time?
Yeah, my leg always fucking does it. Like even when I'm just sitting like around, I have to bounce my leg.
Hmm.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's what we should have called this podcast.
What? Ain't that weird?
Yeah.
Ent like ENT.
So we get to the end of each chapter and we're like, isn't that weird?
Yeah, we basically just read what happens in each chapter without making any jokes.
Yeah.
We just get to the end of, isn't that weird?
Yeah. So then George lost his ear. Isn't that weird?
And Fred comes in, he's like, isn't that weird?
And Lupin's like, what is the last words of Harry that Dumbledore said to the Oh, God. Anyway, Molly's trying to find out what the trio are up to. And Harry's like, no one else can know. Sorry.
She's yeah, like, keep your fucking beak out.
Yeah. And Molly's like, Dumbledore must have known. No, must have meant that he wants us to be involved, Harry. And Harry's like, yes. No, it's not. It's gotta be me. Oh, I hate myself for making that joke. We'll cut that. Harry said, no, it's got to be me.
So Molly asks him to help prep for the wedding. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, of course. Yeah, yeah, no, I've not got anything else important to be doing or thinking about right now. So yeah, that seems fine, yeah.
Yeah, how can I help you prep, Molly? She's like, well, take this. And he's like, what are these? And he's like, well, we call them bellows, that's it. Take this, Harry. Turn to me, I'll put margarine on the end. I want you to put this up my backside and pump me up. And Harry's like, why?
I call it an air enema or an air enema.
Yes, it flushes out all the negative energy.
And the sound of the air on its way out can shake the walls of the whole house.
Yeah. It's a beautiful melody, though. It sounds like Phoenix song, but anal.
And without any of the magical properties.
Yes. I mean, really, Harry, it just sounds like this.
Harry's just there politely like, oh, right. So just slide them in then, yeah?
Yeah. Then afterwards, you've got to put them in my mouth. And he's like, what, asked about? Well, I don't think that's hygienic. He's like, don't worry, I see Arthur do it all the time.
Don't worry, Harry, I'll have had the enema.
Lupin and Arthur are kind of talking to... No, sorry, Molly's trying to keep the trio separated, basically, so they can't like have any more like conversations about their plan, which is working pretty well because she manages to keep them all doing bits and bobs far away from the other.
Yeah, I mean, Harry's sharing Ron's room, so
yeah, they could have secret nighttime chats.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless Molly goes in there and like in like a sleeping bag and sleeps in the middle of the room until they fall asleep.
She just crawls in like a slug.
Yes.
Just sliding on her belly in the sleeping bag.
Just... And every time Harry's like, so Ron, she's like,
Just points the bellows at him.
Yeah. I didn't rinse these off, Harry. Don't make me put them in your mouth hole.
I'll slide them up your bum hole, Harry, but I'll slide them up closed and then I'll open them and make them suck in really hard. Imagine what that will feel like.
Yes, you'd be like a spooky umbrella, Harry. Wouldn't you like that? And he's like, I don't know anymore.
I've lost the will to argue with any of this.
Yeah, I don't know what I like. I just know that everything hurts. Anyway, yeah, so Lupin and Arthur was like, look, we can't use the Grimmauld place anymore because once Dumbledore died, every person he had told became the secret keeper in turn. So that's like 20 of us in total. We kind of like weakens like the strength of the charm because so many people could be sort of like a liability.
Yeah, so the Burrow is the new Order HQ.
Yes, high quality. Oh, and then Fleur's like, we need to disguise you, Harry. He's like, but why?
We'll dress you up like a little French boy.
Yes, complete with your ball in cup.
And his baguette.
Yeah.
And you must skip everywhere, Harry.
Yes, we...
Bless me. Fucking hell.
Sorry.
I mean, bless you.
Yeah, because they need to disguise him for the wedding just so no one clicks that Harry's there. Because although they trust everyone, they actually don't trust everyone.
Yes, exactly.
And then Molly gives them all more tasks.
She sends Ron to clean up his room. Yeah, Hermione's changed the sheets, which she already asked them to do yesterday, so it's already done. And Harry to go and help Arthur with the chickens. But Arthur doesn't really need the help with the chickens because he's hiding the what's left of the motorbike in the chicken shed.
Yes.
Which, does that mean there aren't any chickens? I didn't really understand that, but...
Well, they probably ate them all.
Yeah.
Harry goes up to Ron's room... And Ron's in there pretending to do stuff when Harry walks in and he realises it's not Molly. And he's like, oh, thank God. So he just sits on the bed and Hermione's in there. So they're like, oh, finally we can talk. So they talk about what might have happened to Moody's body, and they reckon that they might have transfigured Moody a bit like what Barty Crouch Jr. did to his dad. And like,
yeah, and Hermione's all like, stop! It's so horrible. So the subject of the quest comes up while they're in Ron's room. Harry's all like, yeah, okay, look, listen, I know you both said you wanted to come like at the end of last year, but I don't know if you have really thought about, and they're like, no, you listen, you dickhead. Do you realise what we've been through and stuff? And we're coming with you. And then this is where we get the explanation of what Hermione's done with her parents' minds.
Yes. Yeah. She's like, oh, I modified mum and dad's memories and sent them off to Australia.
So that they have complete... And that's like, is that a different spell? Is that not just obliviate then? Because obliviate is just like forget what's happened.
I mean, either way, it's a memory charm, right?
Yeah, it's all got to be under the same, like, it could be a different type of memory. If anything, it's like a much, much more advanced form of the memory charm to implant an entirely different identity and memories in the minds of someone rather than just going obliviate, wipe out what just happened.
Yeah, this is like A-level shit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all bollocks. And she's like, and she gets upset about it. And she's like, after this is over, hopefully I can find them and reverse it all. And Harry's like, fucking hell, that means a lot, Hermione. Let's hope you don't accidentally bump into your dad and he doesn't know you're his daughter. He fucking comes on to you. Wouldn't that be weird?
It's like, well, I don't know if we're going to end up in Australia or...
I'll make sure we get there. I'm convinced that there's a Horcrux in Australia.
Yeah.
And Harry's like phoning around like all the hotels. He's like, hi, have you got a Mr. and Mrs. Granger there?
Or a Mr. and Mrs. Shit, what names did she give them?
Oh, I can't remember. It was something stupid.
Yeah. Wilfred like, Spanks or something.
Yeah, Wilfred Spanks and Winifred Spanks.
Yeah, Wilfred and Winifred Spanks. They both go by Freddy because they're just fun like that.
Yeah, Freddy Spankstacular. There we go.
And the hotel's like, oh, yes, right here.
And Harry's like, brilliant. Hermione, look, your dad's over there. She's like, daddy. And he's like, well, hello. Come, I want to cheat on my wife. He's like, she's like, oh, daddy, no.
I love that as your notion of how affairs start.
Oh, God.
You see a stranger in a hotel. Come, I want to cheat on my wife.
Oh, God. Well, they are staying at a hotel, cheat on your wife.
His wife really should have seen that something was the matter.
When they peel off the sign, it actually says, hotel, fuck your daughter. And she's like, ah.
Classic daddy.
Everyone's like, what are we doing here? And Harry's like, shh, good, it's all happening.
It's like, hands him the popcorn.
Oh, God. Then Ron's like, Harry, mate, the Horcruxes. And he's like, oh, fuck, yeah, sorry. Hermione, we've got to go. Anyway, no, fucking Hermione's like, look. No, Ron's like, look, I need to show you something.
I need to show you my ghoul.
Yeah. So they got to the attic, spooky attic, and there's a big ass ghoul in the corner.
An ass ghoul.
I guess just like a sopping buttocks that's like disembodied.
Sopping.
Yeah. And Ron's like, we're going to use this as a decoy.
Looks just like me, doesn't it? And Harry's like, yeah.
Yeah, Harry and a complete arsehole. Now Ron's like changed the ghoul in the attic to have like red hair, and it's wearing Ron's pajamas. And it's, have they made it taller and stuff, or is that just the size that ghouls are?
Don't know,
because it's like human sized. And Ron's like, look, we're gonna make it as if that's me, and as if I've got ill with Spattergroits, we're gonna like leave him in my bed. And Spattergroits like super, super contagious and stuff, so no one can even get near you to check. So if I don't return to school, family's just going to say I've got Spattergroits, and if they come and inspect, they're just going to see the ghoul with all these boils on in my bed with red hair and my pyjamas on. And Harry's like, oh, that's fucking genius, mate. It's like,
yeah, I don't think they'll ever see through that. I don't think anyone will ever realise that it's a decoy.
Well, to be fair, they don't.
No, they don't. the Harry Potter's best friend that's been with him through everything, the year that Harry goes off on his quest to kill Voldemort, is stricken ill at home in a way that no one can get too close to him. That's,
well, to be fair, like, they don't know that Harry's on that mission, so they
I suppose they don't. Well, Harry, they would know when he, they would surmise that when he doesn't turn up back at Hogwarts.
No, but they just think he's not come back to Hogwarts. They wouldn't know, because Voldemort doesn't know that he's after the Horcruxes until they get into the vault.
No, he wouldn't necessarily know that he's... But what else? What does Voldemort think Harry's doing then? Just
they might just
think
that Harry's
somewhere.
Gone into hiding. Yeah, that's what I would think if I was Voldemort.
Yeah.
So Hermione, they go back down to Hermione and she's like, look, so at the end of last term, when I was in my dorm on my own, I thought I would just try this thing. And I just said Accio Dark Magic books. And this set of books that must have been in Dumbledore's office just flew into my room. Like,
yeah,
I can't believe
that the books on Horcruxes that Dumbledore had taken out of the library and stored in his office, when I just summoned them with a simple summoning spell, they flew out of Dumbledore's office and came to me.
Which I guess they would, because if Dumbledore had died, then whatever protective spell we did over them would have ceased to exist.
Yeah, true. And there's always the possibility in Dumbledore's omniscient knowledge that he had kind of set it up.
Yeah, that's true.
In that way.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. That's like, ugh, stretch anyway, though.
It's a bit of a stretch, but like...
If
only the people who knew that they were there could... I don't know. Anyway, Hermione's got a load of books on Horcruxes.
Yes, she's tried out every spell in them. And that's why she's super cool now.
Yes, she's hidden a load of trinkets around the house.
But Hermione's like, look, I think the Voldemort must have got always knowledge about the Horcruxes from these books. And then I think Ron's like, well, why did he ask Slughorn about them then? And then Harry's like, well, Dumbledore did say that he reckons Voldemort knew about Horcruxes before he asked Slughorn, but he wanted to ask about what would happen if he split his soul into seven pieces.
Yeah.
Like, Hermione's like, when you make a Horcrux, it makes your soul like super unstable. So I can't imagine like what doing it seven times must be like. And the only way to reverse a Horcrux is with like remorse.
Like sincere remorse for what you've done. It's like, well, I can't imagine Voldemort ever doing that.
Yeah. She's like, the pain of it can fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Which I think, like, at what point, if you were bad enough to make a Horcrux, I can't imagine you'd ever want to like put it back.
No, I'd be amazed if that has like ever actually happened in life.
Yeah, me too. And then we get the explanation of Horcruxes and how they can be thingied. So mine is like, there are a few
how
things
they
can
be destroy
Horcrux. Yes. You put your pee-pee in the handle and you go...
Swinging around like a helicopter.
Yeah, voila, no more Horcruxes.
You know, you thingy them.
She's like, so you can destroy one. It has to be something so destructive that the Horcrux can't repair itself. Like the Basilisk Fang worked because it has only one antidote, which is Phoenix Tears. But you have to put it beyond magical repair.
Yes. And then Molly comes in and shouts at them for not helping towards the wedding. And I'm like, Molly.
Yeah, Molly.
Give them a fucking break. They're talking about important shit.
Yeah, they should have just survived good with her there. They should have turned her...
several points in this book, really. In this book series. Just as soon as Harry meets her on platform 9 3/4.
Oh my god. She's like, here, look, you've won this toaster. She's like, really? He's like, quickly, give me a bucket of water. Ah, works every time.
People just love toasters for some reason.
Especially when you win them. But Bud, Ron, you do get to keep the toaster. You haven't got a mum, but you have got lovely stiff bread.
Oh, I'm Harry, by the way.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, bloody hell. Harry's like, I like that. You're going to be my sidekick and say that all year from now on.
And I'm Hermione Granger. And he's like, oh, who the fuck is this? Oh, look, you won a toaster.
Yeah.
Delacour's come.
Yes. And it's all silver. Yeah. Yeah, Fleur's parents arrive. And her mum is hot and her dad is plump and good-natured.
I like that. I really do.
What, that her dad is plump and good-natured and her mum's hot?
Yeah, I like the...
That the hot Vila descendants are not, like, shallow.
Yeah, like, I really like that aspect of them. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I really appreciate that about them. Because it's so unexpected. Sorry, can I just quickly, because it made me laugh, when Mr. Delacour introduces himself and his wife, he's like, "Ah, dear lady, we are most honored that it's the union of our two families. And let me present my wife." And it sounded like Lumiere's bit in Beauty and the Beast, where he's like, "Let us present at your dinner for be our guest."
And Molly starts singing.
Yeah. "It's my wife, it's my wife. Look at me, she gives me life." "And she has such a lovely pair of tits. She rubs them on my face. She gets it all over the place. And try the grey stuff, it's delicious." Telecourse are helpful.
Yes, helpful and polite and lovely. Yeah. Keep bursting into song. Fucking, that's it. Molly's like, "Harry, it's your birthday coming up in a couple of days, the day before the wedding. What do you want to do? How do you want to celebrate it?" And he's like, "Oh, no, we don't.
I want to kill myself. She's like, "Oh, Harry, I don't support your decision, but I can facilitate it." "Hey, look, you've won a toaster."
He's like, "Oh, just a normal dinner will be fine." And she's like, "All right, well, I'll invite Remus and Tonks and Hagrid then. How about that?" And he's like, "Yeah, all right, that sounds good." And then he realizes, he just takes a minute to reflect on how inconvenient he's making everything by being here.
Yeah. And that's the end of that chapter.
And that's the end of the chapter.
Yeah, so thank you guys for tuning in to this wonderful episode of Poorly Read. We hope we've tickled all kinds of fancies. Fondant ones, private ones. Do you know what we can do, Tom?
What can we do, Gibson?
We can give them a little preview of an upcoming Patreon episode.
That'd be good. Let's do that. What film's it from?
From The Wizard of Oz, coming out this Friday. Like,
going, "Ooh."
And Dorothy's like, whoa, Mr. Scarecrow,
don't put your straw there.
Yeah, that'll give me a yeast infection. But it's okay, I'll make bread. And he's like, that's not how it works.
When life gives you yeast.
But yeah, and then he has a song about how he wishes he had a brain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's like, "I would while away the hours watching Austin Powers if I only had a brain." And then she's like, "Ah." And then he's like, "What's that smoke?" And she's like, "I said fire to you when you wasn't looking."
Yeah. Bye.
So long. And she does like the wedding. Wow, wasn't that funny, Tom? Was that the best thing I've ever heard? Didn't that tickle your venomous tentacular? So yeah, that's from our Patreon. $3.99 a month. You get a brand new episode from our series Poorly Read of the Movies on the first and third Friday of every month. So do it. Do it, bitches and bastards. And what else can we do, Tom?
Oh yeah, they could hit up our Redbubble. poorlyread.redbubble.com. Some cool Poorly Read designs on some merch for you for money, yeah. If you wish.
Yeah. Buy things, make us happy. Make yourself happy, most importantly. Merchandise makes me happy. That's why I have so much of it. Oh, God. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast app. Visit us on our socials at Poorly Read Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And email us your tings at poorlyread@gmail.com.
Yay.
Anyway, I've been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid.